Scripture lesson for today comes from Matthew chapter 17, verses 1 through 9. Listen now for God's holy word. 6 days later, Jesus took with him Peter, James, and his brother John, and led them up a high mountain by themselves. And he was transfigured before them, and his face shone like the sun, and his clothes became dazzling white. Suddenly there appeared to them Moses and Elijah talking with him. Then Peter said to Jesus, "Lord, it is good for us to be here. If you wish, I will make three dwellings here, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." While he was still speaking, suddenly a bright cloud overshadowed them, and from the cloud a voice said, "This is my Son, the Beloved. With him I am well pleased. Listen to him." When the disciples heard this, they fell to the ground and were overcome by fear. But Jesus came and touched them, saying, "Get up and do not be afraid." And when they looked up, they saw no one except Jesus himself alone. As they were coming down the mountain, Jesus ordered them, saying, "Tell no one about the vision until after the Son of Man has been raised from the dead." My friends, the grass may wither and the flowers may fade, but the word of our God remains and abides forever. Thanks be to God. Amen. In the middle of my senior year of college, I went through a difficult experience. The reason was, I looked ahead to my future after what was my upcoming and last semester of college, and I realized that I had no idea what my future held. Many of the people around me had plans for the future after college, but me, I had nothing. I had nothing. Some of my friends, including my twin brother, were getting engaged and making plans to get married after college, and I was recently broken up with. Many of my friends were making plans for work after college, and I was going to be graduating with a Bachelor of Arts degree in religion, and there wasn't much you could do with a degree like that for work. Other friends were making plans to travel around the world. Others had applied to and were getting acceptance letters from graduate schools. And I had nothing, no plans. The future was completely uncertain. And I was feeling like an idiot for choosing my particular field of study and not being more prepared. I felt scared, not knowing what I would do when college ended and my housing situation changed and I would need a job and something to do and my friends were leaving town. What would I do and where would I be and how would I do it? And I felt worthless because I had no plan for what my purpose or my mission would be after college. I was stuck, scared, worried, insecure, and unsure of what would come next, and it didn't feel good at all. For weeks, I staggered through life like a sleepwalker, going to and from class, not really seeing what the purpose was. During that time, every day I wore the same dark blue hooded sweatshirt and hat. And then my glasses broke, and I had to wear prescription sunglasses to see in class. Seeing my strange and darkened appearance, one of my professors grabbed me after class and asked if I had gotten into a witness protection program. What was going on? I wasn't sure what the future held for me, and I was scared and without direction. Nothing else seemed to be helping over those few weeks. So in the midst of that difficult time, I found myself turning to Christian devotional practices. I had grown up in a family that had taught me to pray in times of difficulty. And I had already previously learned that God was good when I would go to God in prayer. So in the middle of my senior year of college, as I was wondering what I would do with my life and feeling without direction or purpose, I found myself in my bedroom, sitting on my bed, reading from the Psalms, praying, and journaling. And in one of those moments of prayer and journaling, suddenly and unexpectedly, I had a powerful and profound experience of God's presence and God's radiant glory. It was a sunny day in January, which was rare in Grand Rapids. But I remember feeling like the light that was coming through the window suddenly filled the whole room, and all I could see was brilliance. And God spoke to me in that moment and communicated to me something like, "Your future is unclear, and that's okay. I am with you. Your job right now is to put one foot in front of the other, love the people who are around you, and do your best this next semester. And trust. Trust that I will be with you on this uncertain path." I had a powerful experience of God's glory. And as you can imagine, that amazing experience propelled me forward. I was newly encouraged. I was put at peace, even though I was still completely unsure what would happen and where I was headed. In a lot of ways, I think that my experience in college mirrors the experience of the disciples in the Transfiguration. They too were facing a difficult and an unknowable future. Just before the Transfiguration story, Jesus had told the disciples that he was going to be killed in Jerusalem. That was not the future that the disciples were expecting or hoping for Jesus. They were hoping that Jesus would become a powerful earthly king like King David, who had first made Jerusalem the capital of Israel's earthly kingdom. They were hoping that Jesus was leading them and an earthly army into Jerusalem, where Jesus would defeat the Romans, push out King Herod, and establish a new and a better earthly kingdom. They were hoping for a Christian kingdom with Jesus as king and them, the disciples, as Jesus' ministers and cabinet officials and right-hand men. Instead of that vision for their future, Jesus told them that in Jerusalem he would be rejected and suffer and he would die. He wouldn't be raised up on a throne, but raised up on a cross. He wouldn't be placed in a palace, he would be placed in a tomb. To make matters worse, Jesus also mentioned to the disciples that if they wanted to follow him, they would have to take up a cross. That was not the future nor the calling they were expecting. Like me in college, I am sure that they felt staggered, given what they had just heard from Jesus, given how confused and crushed they must have felt, hearing how their hoped-for future was not going to come. How could they move forward? Like me walking around campus in witness protection, they must have been walking around Galilee like sleepwalkers. They didn't know how they could possibly move forward into that unwelcomed future. But of course, God knew what they needed. God knew what they needed in that difficult moment and in that difficult experience facing that unwelcomed future. Jesus brought Peter, James, and John up to the mountaintop for some prayer. And there on the mountaintop, his disciples received what we could call a full wagon load of God's glory and blessings. Jesus shines with radiant glory. God's greatest servants of old, Moses and Elijah, appear and they're talking with Jesus. And then God's own glory cloud appears, covers them all, and God's voice speaks to them saying, "This is my son. I love him. Listen to him." Even if the disciples still didn't understand, nor if they didn't still like the future that Jesus was leading them towards, I am sure that they felt compelled to continue following Jesus, even if it meant bearing a cross. When God shows up in your life and says, "That's my son, I love him, follow him, listen to him," it's pretty hard to do otherwise. My friends, this week I hear God reminding us that God knows that at moments in our lives we need some glory. We need an experience of God's glory to help us be encouraged in our faith in Christ and to take the next steps forward, even into what can be difficult or unwelcomed futures. There are times when the paths we are called to walk are not what we would have hoped for or expected. There are times when the futures that lay out before us are uncertain. There are times when we wish that things could be our way rather than God's way. There are times when we feel like the rug has been completely pulled out from under us. There are times when the prospects for our future are shown to us, and we see the crosses that we're being called to bear, and we feel stuck and staggered. How could this be? How am I supposed to move towards that? This is not what I wanted. That is not what I expected. I don't know the way. I can't see the path. Today, God, through our scripture lesson, reminds us that in moments like these, God sees us and God knows what we need. We need some help. We need some help in the form of God's glory and God's powerful word. We need help. God knows that we need God to reveal something of God's glory and to speak God's voice of comfort and peace and direction into our lives. When I was in college, I experienced a dramatic moment of God's word and God's glory. And in smaller and less dramatic ways throughout my life, I have experienced God showing up with some light, with some glory, with some direction, with some peace, with some encouragement to confirm to me that God is with me, even in the face of futures that seem strange or difficult or even unwelcomed. My friends, as the season of Epiphany draws to a close, and as we head into the season of Lent, I hear God encouraging us to make some effort, to make personal effort into seeking after the glory that God knows we need. I hear God encouraging us to head up the mountain with Jesus. God knows that we need God's light and God's glory and God's word to shore us up in times of difficulty. And while God is able to shine God's glory into our lives anytime and anywhere, Scripture and Christian tradition and Christian experience, they all remind us that God is faithful when we reach out to God in our times of need. God can reach us no matter where we are or what we are doing. But God also wants us to take the initiative. We can reach out and seek after the glory that we need. Dietrich Bonhoeffer is famous for his reflections about the nature of God's grace. Like a good Reformed theologian, Bonhoeffer taught that God's grace is free. But Bonhoeffer also taught that grace is not cheap. Bonhoeffer taught that God's free grace is in fact costly. This observation is full of meaning, and it's worthy of long ponderings and contemplations. But the lesson that God draws to my mind this week around the concept of God's costly and free grace is that we should be spending our time and our energy seeking after that which God freely gives. We should be climbing up to the mountaintops of prayer and devotion, study and journaling. We should be trying out practices of meditation and fasting. We should be putting some costly effort into seeking after God's grace, which can give us peace and direction in our times of difficulty. God's grace is free. God's glory is free. But we can and we should put effort into our pursuit of that which God gives. In my experience in college, God met me in a time of devotion. God met me in a time of prayer. God met me as I was journaling, and in that journaling, pouring out my fearful and my wondering heart. In the disciples' case, God met them on the mountaintop. They were not in the plains and the valleys of their regular and mundane lives. Instead, they had gone up to a place of devotion and prayer, and it was there that God revealed God's glory. It was there that God spoke God's words of comfort and direction. If we are facing difficult or uncertain futures, if we have questions about how we can do it on our walks of faith, if we are wondering how God is calling us as individuals or as a church, then let us not neglect the opportunity that Lent gives us. An opportunity and an invitation to head up to the mountaintop. This week I hear God encouraging us to do simple things that can have powerful influences in our lives. I hear God inviting us to practice daily devotions. There's a wonderful daily devotion in the E-News. It's a daily reflection on a psalm for all 40 days of the season of Lent. We should use it. We should use it. Read that devotional. Pray over it. Pull out a piece of paper and journal. Journal your response. This season of Lent, we'll be doing a book study. If you have time and the ability, join the book study. If you can't come and have the discussions, read the book. Read the book and let God work on your heart through the observations and the ideas that you can find herein. I have several copies if anyone is interested to borrow. In this season of Lent, you could do something more personal. You could practice a fast of some kind. Give something up from your daily life. Give up your favorite social media platform. Maybe for all 40 days, or maybe you could just like take a break for an hour in the morning, right? Just, I'm not gonna look at Facebook from 8 a.m. till 9 a.m., right? Something simple, right? Give up your favorite social media platform. Give up something you like to eat, like chocolate. Give up something that you lean on in ways that you know aren't the most healthy way of coping. Give something up as a fast for the 40 days of Lent, and every time you feel yourself craving that thing that you're giving up, use that craving feeling to remind you to crave after God's grace instead, and let that propel you into prayer, into meditation, into devotion. God knows what we need. In the face of difficult and uncertain futures, God knows that we need grace and glory to help propel us down the mountain and to stay on the path of faith. God's grace and God's glory are free. So let us head up the mountain this season of Lent and let us receive what God has to offer. Thanks be to God. Amen.